Praise the Lord.
Daniel 1, Daniel chapter 1, and we'll just read verse 8 tonight. Daniel 1 and verse 8, familiar verse, and part 2 of this morning's message, a year of purpose, Daniel 1, 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And, of course, Daniel purposed in his heart. And I've challenged you in the year 2013 to make it a year of purpose some things. Daniel, over and over, stayed with the purpose. The reason he stayed with it, he didn't just say it with his mouth. He purposed in his heart. He made a decision in his heart. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to defile myself with meat that might be unclean meat. I'm not going to defile myself with wine that is alcoholic wine. I'm not going to go against my God. He didn't just say it. He said it in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Father, I pray that you would help us to make 2013 a year of purpose. And I pray we'd make decisions and we'd stick with them. We'd have goals and we'd move forward for you. Thank you for the time that you've given us, another year, another opportunity, another start, another January. And I pray that you will help us to use it wisely and make it so that it brings honor and glory to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a theme this year, for such a time as this. And you notice the bulletin, it's on there. The monthly challenge is a time for unity, such a time, a time of unity. And Psalm 133 and verse 1, a memory verse that we'll be working on. It's the idea of doing something on purpose. Make the year a year that you do something on purpose for God. The challenge this morning, we talked about several things, and we're going to finish it up. Just had too many points for just one service. But this morning, we talked about purposing to do these things. Purpose number one, to receive Christ. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. You ought to decide, I'm going to get saved. Purpose to remember thy Creator. Remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. Number three, purpose to read the Word of God. Purpose number four, to research the Word of God. Don't just read it, but study to show thyself approved unto God. Number five, purpose to respond to God. We ought to decide right now, when God speaks to me, I'm gonna respond. I'm gonna make the decision. I'm gonna go to the altar. I'm gonna go on my knees. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do, whatever He tells me to do. I'm gonna respond to Him in the way that He wants me to respond. If it's a chapel at Berean Baptist Academy, you need to go to the altar. You need to respond. If it's a teen camp, a conference at North Sharon. If it's in a church service, if it's in junior church. If it's as you read your Bible in the morning, as you're having your devotion, then God speaks to your heart. It's a matter of just saying, I will respond, God, as you speak to my heart. I'm going to respond. But you're going to do it on purpose. You're not going to accidentally do it. It's not going to just sneak up on you. You're going to have to decide, hey, here are some things I'm going to do. I'm going to respond to God. Purpose number six, to request from God. Ye have not because ye ask not. You ought to decide right now, all through this year, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God for all the things that I need. I'm going to ask God for things that I want. I'm going to ask God for big things. I'm going to talk to my big God, and I'm going to ask Him for things that He can provide. And again, we have not because we ask not. Purpose to request from God. Number seven, purpose to render to God. Render is to pay that which is due. And certainly, we owe God everything. But we have to decide, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my life. Purpose to render to God. That includes our tithes. That includes our offerings. That includes our faith promise. To give God what is due to Him. Number eight, purpose to reconcile people to God. That means to get people saved. That means to bring people to God who are enemies with God. Aren't you glad somebody helped reconcile you? Aren't you glad you're not God's enemy anymore? I'm sure glad I'm not His enemy, because if I'm His enemy, I'm on the losing side. And thank God I'm on the winning side. Purpose number nine, to review your purpose. Throughout the year, you need to review, how am I doing on these things? How am I doing on the decisions I made? How am I doing on things I promised God, things I vowed to God? How am I doing? Purpose to review your purpose. And then number 10, purpose to renew your purpose. So many things in our lives we've made decisions on. They were good decisions. You know, I get frustrated when people make a good decision and then they get away from God and all of a sudden that good decision isn't good to them anymore. They'll say, oh, you know, I didn't mean that. No, you meant it then. It was right then. The problem is you've changed. We need to decide, if I get out of whack, I'm going to go back to that purpose. I'm going to go back to that original. Nothing should change a good, right decision. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Don't care what happens. Don't care when circumstances. We need, if we made a vow to God or we told God we're going to do this, we need to stick with it and we need to do it. Make it a year of purpose. And again, it's something we have to do on purpose. It's not something we're just going to, boy, you know, I hope I read through my Bible. I hope I read the Bible every day. I hope I spend some time in prayer. I hope that I tell a few folks. No, you're going to have to decide. I am going to do these things. Number 11, as we continue part 2 tonight, number 11, purpose to repair relationships. Purpose to repair relationships. Perhaps there's struggles in our lives with relationships all around us. How about your relationship with God? You know, when Elijah went to the I call the Battle of Mount Carmel. Look at 1 Corinthians 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 18. And something very, very important took place that I think is very significant. 1 Kings chapter 18. You're in 1 Corinthians. Where is Elijah in 1 Corinthians? It's all good. It'll all work. We can make it work. Amen. But 1 Kings 18 and verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know, sometimes you want the fire to fall, but you don't want to repair the altar. Now, if the fire is going to fall, you're going to have to repair that altar. You're going to have to repair that relationship with God. It's like the lady sang this morning. You know, God is where He always is. He didn't leave you. You left Him. And if that altar needs repaired, then repair the altar, because we need to decide, I'm going to have a right relationship with my God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to talk with Him. I'm not going to be the one that when He comes to the garden where I've always met with Him and He looks for me, I'm not going to be hiding from my God. I got to repair the altar. And that's how it starts. You know, the fire didn't fall until the altar was repaired. And folks, fire's not going to fall. And you're looking for something to happen. You're looking for God to do something. But hey, maybe that altar needs repaired. Maybe that relationship with God needs repaired. Maybe that early morning with God needs to be reinstated. Maybe that Bible time alone with God needs to start over. I'm just saying, repair the altar. David, of course, Psalm 51, where it's so clear, David had to get right with God. Hey, David, how are you going to be used by God? I'm not going to be used by God until I get right with God. I'm not going to do anything for God until I get right with God. My relationship with God has got to be repaired. If it's not right, repair the altar tonight. Get on the altar and say, God, I want to have a good, close walk with you. Amen. Purpose to repair relationship with God. Purpose to repair your relationship in your marriage. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Look at it. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Your relationship in your marriage. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I watch over and over and over again marriages today where they're just totally ignoring those verses. I'm talking about Christian homes. It's, you know, every excuse, every reason for, well, I just don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. I don't care about them anymore. And what about what God says? You need to repair that relationship and get back to what God says. And God says, husband, love your wife. God says, wife, submit to your husband. It's so clear in Scripture. And if we'll do those things, we can have a right relationship in our marriage. No, 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 you don't understand. She does this. Oh, you don't understand. He does this. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he gave himself for a bunch of sinners. And sir, you are to love her even if she's a sinner. And ma'am, you are to submit to him even if he's stupid. Amen. Even if he's not the greatest guy in the world. Hello. Well, you say, you don't understand. I mean, he's a total, you know. Yeah, I know he is. You married him. Don't pick on people. Folks, you know, we got to get back to the relationship's got to be right. And marriages need, you say, well, we're just kind of going along. Don't just kind of go along. Have fun. And you're going to have to repair that relationship. It's just like with God. You know, some of us are just kind of going along. You can't do it. You're not going to, you will fail. Satan will defeat you. You've got to repair that relationship with God and that relationship with your marriage. How about the relationships in the home? You know, Ephesians 6 is still in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, and we always forget about this, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There's supposed to be a relationship in the home whereby a father is not trying to provoke his children. No, we're loving each other. We're having a right relationship in our home. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the teaching and the preaching, the admonition of God and His Word, and keeping them in there. You know, well, you know, my kids, they don't care. You know, it's amazing how we let things slip with our families. And we need to, and what are we saying? You know, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And whom the dad loveth, he? Yeah. See, we'd get a little quiet on that one. Oh, you know, what will the authority say? The authority says that's what you're supposed to do. If you love your kids. Thank you, Brother Hawkins. Appreciate you coming tonight. If we love our children, we're gonna chasten them. We're gonna deal with them. That's the right relationship. The wrong relationship is just to let them go wild. The wrong relationship is let them do whatever they want to do. The wrong relationship is let them have a cell phone and just talk to anybody they want to, and you don't pay any attention to it. The wrong relationship is let them have computer accounts all over the place and just let them do whatever they want on the internet. That's not a good relationship. You better repair that thing. But you're going to have to do it on purpose. It's not going to just, you know, well, I accidentally fixed all that. You're not going to accidentally fix it. You're going to have to, on purpose, repair these relationships. And your relationship with God, your relationship in your marriage, your relationship in your home, all relationships. Ephesians 5, go back to Ephesians 5. You know, it is so clear in Ephesians 5 how we're supposed to be. It starts with verse 21, and usually in marriage, premarital counseling, I start right here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But see, that's for all of us. We're all to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit ourselves to each other. What's that mean? That means, Daryl, I'm your servant. How can I help you? Phyllis, how can I help you? Kayla, how can I help you? All the way down the line, we're supposed to submit ourselves one to another. How can we help each other? What can we do for each other? Do you understand Satan hates all of you? Okay, do you realize the devil hates us? He hates Berean Baptist Church. He hates our message that we preach because it's the truth. He hates that. And he has all kinds of people out here and movements out here that would love to destroy us. We're supposed to submit ourselves to one another and help each other. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And notice what he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." What I mean, that we don't need the New King James Bible for that, do we? We don't need the NIV for that, dude. Isn't that pretty obvious what he says? Okay, if you're bitter, put that away. Wrath, put it away. Anger, put it away. Clamor, put it away. Evil speaking, put it away. Okay, that's very clear in the Scripture. Put all that away. Okay, you know, yeah, but so-and-so, you know, they, yeah, go to them and tell them what they did and get it settled. Get it right. Period. And it's done. Okay, wrath, oh, I just can't. Okay, you're going to have to. Okay, put it away. You've got to repair relationships. We are in a cosmos, a world that absolutely hates us. And so it says, verse 32, be ye kind one to another. How sad, and it really is sad in our day. There are people out here in the world that are kinder than some of us are to each other. I was thinking sometime this evening, I was thinking one of the most precious words I remember as a new Christian was the word brother. First time somebody said, hey, Brother Rogers. I only have one sister. Praise God. But anyway, and somebody said, Brother Rogers. And I thought, wow, that's an endearing word, brother. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, how sad Islam would like to cut our throats. They'd like to put a bag over your head and chop that thing off in front of millions and millions of people. And we can't just, well, they made me mad. You got to get over it. You're going to have to get over it. You know why? Because you're not going to do it accidentally. It's not going to sneak up on you. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide, all right, I'm going to repair my relationship with God, with my spouse, with my children, with my family, with my friends. I'm going to repair these relationships. Number 12, purpose to restore others. Restore others. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Okay, you know, let's be honest. Nobody is the sheriff. Amen? But we can be restorers. How about instead of being the sheriff, you become a doctor? Amen? Amen? I saw what old so-and-so. Forget about all that stuff, all right? Okay, there's not a person in this room that's not a sinner. Okay, everybody's a sinner. All right, what are we supposed to do? Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Is there anyone spiritual out there? Okay, you're not going to restore him by getting on Facebook and telling the world about it. Never. You're not going to restore him by telling everybody else about it. But you could restore him by going to him and saying, listen, I love you. And okay, you messed up. So what? I love you. I'm with you. I'll help you. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. That's what we don't do. It could be you. It was you. Is there one of us that's never messed up? Is there anybody here that's never messed up? Since you got saved, is there anybody here? Never. You have never messed up, not one time. Well, I didn't get caught. Well, wait, no, that isn't what I said. By the way, you did get caught because he caught you. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Purpose. You have to purpose to instead of looking for zits on people's faces, blemishes on them, looking for problems that they have, looking for this defect and that smudge and that problem and everything. When you find out somebody messed up, try to restore them. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what God says. But you got to do it on purpose. You got to do it on purpose. You got to get rid of the itching ears. And say, you know what, I want to help these people. It's easy to talk about people that mess up. It's easy to just, you know, slander their name all over the place. And, oh, do you know what they did? And it's easy to do all that kind of stuff. You know what's hard? What really takes character? Try to help them and restore them. Amen. That's just Christianity, though. Amen. Purpose. You got to do it on purpose. Number 13, purpose to respect authority. You know what I like about Daniel 1, verse 8? Daniel 1, verse 8 is, Daniel 1 is just such a powerful, powerful, really all the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. Enjoyed the time that I taught through that. And because it's just so good. You know, Daniel is, they're in the captivity, and Daniel is a captive. And he has people that are over him. But I love in verse 8 where it says, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He requested. What's he do? He's respecting the authority that's over him. Daniel, you're going to eat this meat, you're going to drink this wine. But the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart, he wasn't going to. But he didn't say, you know what? You can't make me. Here's what he said. He said, Would it be all right if? What's he doing? He's opening the door for God to work a miracle, which God did do. Because you're not going to eat a bunch of vegetables and gain weight over people that are eating meat and drinking wine. It's not going to happen unless God does a miracle. And God did. But I like Daniel's respect for the authority. Okay, is the authority heathen? You better believe they are. They are so heathen. Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzarites. Yeah, they're a bunch of heathen. But they were the authorities. Why? They held the spears. They're the authorities. By the way, did God let that happen? Yeah, I know. We don't like that, do we? We never like it. Boy, somebody got bent out of shape the other day. You can't say that God allowed the election to go the way he did. Okay, did he stop it? Then he must have. Thank you, Larry. All right. But we just have such a hard time with it. We want our way. Okay, let's just go his way, all right? Let's do whatever we have to do. Men of God, people of God have done it for years and years and years where things didn't go their way, but it was obviously his way. Now, you know, again, purpose. We have to decide to respect authority. He requested and God honored his request. Look at verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Was it because of Daniel's good breath? No. Was it because of the cologne he wore? No. Was it because of the way he combed his hair? No. How did he become in favor? Was it because he knew all the songs that the prince of the eunuchs knew? Because he knew all the TV shows that he had been watching, and so he became real close. We became good buds, right? That's not what the Bible says, is it? What's the Bible say? The Bible says God brought him into favor. God did that. God made it possible. And Daniel just showed respect. And by showing respect, God honored him. Romans 13 is in the Bible. Romans 13 and verse 1. Boy, this is good stuff. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. I know we don't like that. That is in the Bible, though. That is in your King James Bible. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That doesn't mean hell, that means a condemnation. But understand, you know what? You know, here's what I like. And I hate to talk about him when he's not here, but really that's the best time to talk about somebody. No, Glenn Herndon, when he prays for our president, he always prays, "And God save our president." I don't know if he's saved or not. I'm not the judge of that. But I don't ever hear him praying in a criticizing way. I hear him praying, "God, please save our president." He is our president. I'll be honest with you. I voted different. There's no question, because we can. But there ought to be some respect here. Amen. Okay, I don't like decisions. I don't like things going the way they go, and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm going to show the proper respect that we are to show. Understand this, and please get this. If you don't get anything else on this point, get this: when an authority criticizes authority, they weaken their authority. Always. I promise you this is going to be true every time. When an authority criticizes authority, they weaken their authority. That is true with a mom criticizing a dad to the children, always. "Ma'am, you're killing yourself." Okay? That is true with a dad criticizing a mom. That is true with a parent criticizing a teacher. It's always going to be true. You're not going to find an exception. That's true with a foreman criticizing a supervisor. Do you really think, Mr. Foreman, as you criticize the supervisor that's above you, do you think the people below you now show more respect for you? Not at all. It doesn't happen that way. And so we have to understand that we need to purpose to respect. Even, I don't care how hard it is. Respect. Authority. Amen. and teach our children to respect authority. Doesn't mean we have to agree with all authority. We don't. We very seldom agree with all authority, but we need to respect authority. Number 14, purpose to remove temptations. Joseph, when he was, you know, do we ever get the idea somehow that Potiphar's wife maybe was not good looking? Oh yeah, Joseph, you know, that's how he got out of there, because she just wasn't cute. No, I don't think so, because I think Potiphar probably had a pretty good looking wife. And I think her temptation, I think her flirtation was pretty real. You say, why do you think that? Because the Bible says Joseph got him out. Now, I'll be honest with you, if she was so nasty and ugly and just downright not even a temptation at all, he'd have just said, woman, I'm not interested in you. The Bible says he got out. What do you mean? He got his eyes off of her. He got his ears away from her. He couldn't smell her pretty perfume. He didn't see her little batting eyelashes. No way. You know why? Because he got him out. I like Joseph. I like the way the Bible says it. Got him out. Isn't that good? What do you mean? He ran. He ran as fast as he could. Why? Because somewhere along the line, he purposed to remove temptations. You know what I'm watching? I'm watching Christians running to temptations. Amen. See it all the time, every week. Running to it instead of away from it. And then it isn't. Listen. Do you understand? Joseph's flesh, what he's saying by getting out as fast as he can is, she's flirting with me, and I'm not sure I can hold her off. And he got out. I'm not sure I can hold me off. And he got out. You know, people flirt. I don't care what your reasoning is. Well, you know, I just need a little boost. No, you don't. I'm talking about married people flirting with other married people. I'm talking about people on the internet flirting. I'm talking about chat rooms. I'm talking about all kinds of flirting that goes on. I'm talking about flirting that's not supposed to be going on. You know, if you're courting somebody, that's a whole different world. I'm just talking about all this stuff that is going on today where a woman is trying to get some guy interested in her, though, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Honey, I got news for you. You do not know what you'll do. And he doesn't either. And I'm telling you, we're playing with some dangerous, dangerous things with some of the social media that is available today. And the best thing in the world is to remove temptations. But you got to do it on purpose. Many think they can flirt and everything will be all right, but the end is adultery. We see it over and over. We're seeing it more and more today. The end is divorce. We see it all the time. Anymore. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the heathen out here. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about churches like our church. That's why 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts. Flee. That means get out. Proverbs 1 verse 10. Look at it. Proverbs 1 verse 10. I'm going to preach this in chapel on Tuesday, I think. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Berean Baptist Academy, we have chapel on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can come. Proverbs 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent not. What's that? That's purpose. Not going to do it. What do they do? Verse 11, if they say, come with us, I'm not going to go. Amen. If they say, come with us, follow us, it'll be all right. Come with us. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't even get on their path. Wow. I mean, don't even get on the path. Real quick, Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Don't get on the path. Don't get in the way. Watch what he says. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. But you're going to have to see, that's all on purpose. None of that is oops, I avoided the path. No, you're going to be drawn to the path. There's going to be all kinds of billboards and fancy signs and advertisements getting you on that path. You're going to have to turn your head and say, I'm out of here. I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to go near it. I'm not going to talk about it. Some of you folks, you talk about sex as if you can talk about it. If you're married, you can talk to your spouse about it. If you're a parent, you can talk to your kids about it. But that's all the talk that ought to be going on about it. And yet it goes on. Because you watch it, you talk about it, you feed your mind with the filth, and it's just common anymore. It amazes me today. You got to guard what you look at on the internet. You got to guard what you can go to, what you can't go to. You got to guard it. TV, media, friends, the whole bit. Yeah, and what's that? What that's purposing to remove temptations. I've told you a story. I could tell story after story after where my wife has she removes it stuff. Because I asked her years ago, you know, I don't want to see underwear commercials. I don't want to see any of it in any little flyers that we get. I don't want to see the Penny's catalog, Sears catalog, unless one section's totally gone. You say, boy, you're a nut. Yeah, but I got a pure mind. I got a good marriage. So nuttiness must work. Because you can't even look at a woman without ducking because you're so ashamed of what your mind is doing. Hello. I'll never forget my first Sports Illustrated bathing suit issue. Back in 1979, 78 or 79, my dad bought me Sports Illustrated. Never forget. And I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I just like to read about the Chicago Bears and Notre Dame and, oh, there's a game tomorrow. Anyway, but I just like to, you know, I like to read and follow all that stuff, and I didn't know anything about it. And so one day I got home, and there was five pieces of paper. It was, I'm serious, it was as thin as about five pieces of paper. And I picked it up, and I looked, and it said at the top, it said Sports Illustrated. And it looked like it had been violently dealt with. This was about 78 or 79. And Brenda came. I said, Brenda, I said, what happened? Did a dog get a hold of this? She said, no, I got a hold of it. I said, what do you mean you got a hold of it? She said, you wouldn't believe. I said, well, tell me about it. She said, no. I don't want you to know about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to see it. It's wicked, vile, out of hell. It ought to be in hell. And I mean, I said, honey, that's fine. But I might have liked to read some of these articles. But anyway, and I appreciate her so much for doing that. You say, yeah, you just can't handle it. You're right. I don't want to know if I can. I don't want to even think about whether I can or not. I want to think about her. See? Yeah, you okay, go ahead and criticize. It's okay. Number 15, purpose to reject evil communication. See, it went from better to worse. Reject evil communication. Why? Well, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15:33, very, very clear, be not deceived. Okay, does that mean we can be deceived? Yeah, because God says be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, so I don't want my good manners corrupted, so I'm going to reject evil communications. Amen? That's what we need to do, because I don't want my manners to be corrupted. I want to do right. I want to act right. And so I'm not going to be around evil communication. Well, what is evil communication? I'm glad you asked. Look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. I'm a lot closer to being done than you even could begin to imagine. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy. So anybody that is leading me to envy, I'm going to reject. Because I don't need to envy, because envy's sin. Strife. Okay, anybody that's trying to lead me to strife. Okay, Daryl comes and he says, did you hear about Brother Hollins? I'm going to say, Daryl, I don't want to hear anything bad about Brother Hollins. All right, because I don't want to have strife with Brother Hollins. Amen. And so we're not gonna because I strife, okay? Any kind of things. By the way, what's the Bible say about this person who's leading me to envy, strife, railing? He's proud, knowing nothing. proud knowing nothing. Okay? And so envy, strife, railings. You know, that's cutting people down. I don't want to cut people down. People are down enough without you cutting them down. Okay, we don't need that. Evil surmisings, what's that? It's when people actually believe evil about other people and don't even, they believe it over the truth. Well, you know you're thinking this. No, I'm not thinking this. Yes, you are. No, I'm really not. You know that's what, no, I really know. I know what I'm thinking and no, I'm not thinking that. Well, you know they did this because of this. No, I don't know they did this because of it. That's evil surmising. Do you understand how that is a losing effort? When you live in the land of surmising, you hate everybody. You cannot possibly be a good Christian when you live in the land of evil surmisings. Because everybody's bad. It's always everybody else's fault. It's always their, they did this and you know why they did it and they're out to get you. And the truth is, I doubt that anybody's out to get you. And very seldom is anybody out to get you. Because why would they be out to get you? Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Why? Because I'm to reject evil communications. But I'm going to have to do that on purpose. I'm going to have to do it on purpose, and so are you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. The Bible says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. People that reject the truth, they are going to produce evil communication. Psalms 31, verse 18. Notice this, Psalm 31, 18. Psalm 31 and verse 18. Lot of verses about it. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. It is so popular today to blast people doing right. It's just so popular today. Just cut them all down. Yeah, look at those Christians. Boy, look at those guys. But you know what's sad is when Christians do it to other Christians. Just does not make sense. And this is very much like removing the temptation. Acts 17, verse 21. Here is our day right here. Acts 17, 21. You better be careful. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's our day. The Athenians, to tell or to hear some new thing. I'll end this point with 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. These are all good verses, but I must hurry. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come, it has, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now that having itching ears go back to them that are after their own lusts. I got news for you. There are hundreds of teachers that will scratch your itch. I promise you. There are so many teachers out there that watch you itch your ear. I'll tell you something. And now with the internet, there are thousands of teachers that'll scratch your itch. Do not have itching ears, because there are many who are willing to teach those who have itching ears. Because you know what an itching ear is? It doesn't require truth. So there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands who will say anything just to scratch your itch. Thousands. And you know what's so bad about it? Is thousands believe what they say because they don't require truth. And that brings me to number 16, and that is purpose to require truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Well, yeah, but a reliable source said, that's such a joke. I can't even remember the latest thing that I did that a reliable source said, and I never even thought about doing it. I remember one reliable source that said that I flew a plane and crashed it. And at the time, I was scared to even fly, let alone fly a plane myself. But it was a reliable source, always is a reliable source. Well, I read this on the internet. Oh, that's always true. Well, this article said, CNN reported, Do you understand, folks, if the truth, please stay with me here, all right? I'm just about done. If the truth about Benghazi had been said earlier, the election might have gone different. Why wasn't the truth told? Let me ask you a question. Why didn't people demand the truth? Why weren't people shouting and screaming, hey, what's the truth here? Americans died. That's why. Because the majority of Americans had itching ears to hear anything but the truth. And they were more preoccupied with garbage and junk that was going on in Hollywood and everything else than they ever were about the truth about Americans dying that did not have to die. You know what? We need to, as Christians, do we or do we not believe this is the truth? We ought to always require the truth. Just because somebody said it, have you ever considered going and finding out if it's true? Purpose to require the truth. We avoid many sins when we simply require the truth. Gossip is shut off. Surmising is stopped. Strife is handled when we just require the truth. Brother Darrell comes and he says, Brother Rogers, you're not going to believe what Ray Holland said about you. Well, Brother Darrell, let you and I go and we'll find out what Ray Holland said. So we go, and Darrell says, well, I didn't really mean for you to go to him. I meant for you to listen to what I had to say. Well, Darrell, I don't have itching ears. I want to know the truth. Let's go see Ray Holland. So we go to Ray, and Ray says, how are you? I say, is that what he had to say? And Darrell says, yeah, I guess. And you know what? Everything's okay. And Darrell found out I didn't have itching ears. But yours are always itching. And you'll always have somebody come along and scratch your itch. But it won't be the truth. If we demand the truth spiritually, shouldn't we demand the truth always? Purpose. I'm just about done. Number 17, purpose to resist the devil. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. It all starts with submit to God, amen, and then resist. What's that mean? Fight. Verse 8 of that same passage, draw nigh to God. Why? Because he's your ally. You can't have a better ally, amen. Purpose to resist the devil. Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Then it says, whom resist steadfast. Resist him. Fight. Some of you have given up your fight. Number 18, purpose to repent when you're wrong. This is a good verse. Don't know if I've ever preached on Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Purpose to repent. What's that mean? Change your mind. Purpose to repent when you're wrong. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. And the Bible says here, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and you turn yourselves from all your transgressions, watch, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Boy, that's good. So iniquity will not be your ruin. Change your mind. Truth should convince us. That's why we change our mind. I hear it all the time. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. Here's how I feel. How you feel is what you shouldn't care. You should always care what the Bible says. The Bible says in Revelation 2:5, we need to go back to our first works and we need to go back to our first love. How do we do it? Repent. Change our mind. What convinces me? Truth. Truth. Number 19, purpose to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. God is always good. He's always good. We had our budget meeting, and I know some people, it's over the end. No, listen to me. God is always good. Don't slap God. Don't ever. Listen to me. God is on His throne. Nobody has taken God off His throne. God is still in control of everything. And we have one thing we need to just continue to do, and that's rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You know, it's amazing how we get the idea as Christians. If we read our Bibles, we get the idea, well, I'd rejoice if everything's going good. Paul and Silas were in jail. He was in jail when he said, rejoice in the Lord. He didn't just win the lottery. He didn't just get a raise at work. He didn't just find out that his health is perfect. He's in jail. He's been beaten. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. The church is being persecuted. Come on, folks. We really think that the economy of today is the worst thing that ever happened to the church? We're not even close. We have so much to rejoice. I don't know about you, but I prayed that last quarter and begged God for that last quarter. Brother Tim, we're talking about paying bills. We pay our bills. The bills get paid. They will get paid. And that last quarter, we came at the end of the third quarter. It's like, oh, man, we're this short. We're going to be this short. But we didn't end up that short. We ended up, it was tough, but we paid all the bills. And it's so exciting to watch God work. But a few people, good night. Who is your God? Amen. We need to rejoice in the Lord. God is always good. Amen. Don't let our circumstances, our health or whatever. I mean, how many knee operations did we just have? Two on one on one, another one on another one. I mean, knees were very popular at the end of the year. It's all over. It's not all over. God's God. Rejoice. And 20. Purpose to rest. I'm not talking about kicking back and with some Doritos and tea. And I'm not talking about that. Yeah, see, more amens on that than anything else. Matthew 11, and we're done. Matthew 11. I have Doritos on the mind because I ate some Doritos during the on New Year's Day for football. You have to have Doritos in football. It should be in the Bible somewhere, but it's not. But Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he doesn't say, take my pillow. He says, take my yoke upon you. He just says, yoke up with me, because he'll do the work. He'll do the work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Some of you, you've been working hard for God, but you didn't include God. And you're going to lose. You're going to be wiped out, honestly. Take my yoke. Yoke up with Jesus in your work. Well, I've been serving God, and I did this, and I did that. Now I'm just wore out, and I can't take. Okay, listen to me. Take his yoke. Yoke up with him and do your work, and you'll find rest. But you have to do it on purpose. Oh, God, I can't go soul winning without you. I can't work in the fair ministry without you, God. God, I can't be on this bus route. I'm exhausted. I can't do it without you. I've done it without you, God. I shouldn't have. I can't do my Sunday school class, God, without you. I got to have your help, God, and yoke up with him. I learned many, many years ago as a pastor, I can't do it without him. It is not feasible, because what will happen? I will burn out, and I don't want to burn out, and I don't want you to burn out. Purpose to rest. Daily walk, daily work, daily worship, rest in the Lord. Let's make 2013 a year of purpose. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. A lot of things. 20 points today to purpose in our lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.